Psalm 126, and we're going to read from verse number 5. Psalm 126 and verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. One reading in the New Testament, please, in the book of Galatians. Galatians and chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7, perhaps better known text to many. Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And verse 9 is integral to this idea of sowing and reaping. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And God will bless, I trust, the reading of his word, together with a few comments I want to make about it. I am exceptionally gratified by how many young people are present here today. It's one of the features of the Saugus Conference over the last few years that there are many young believers here. And I would like to teach just some foundational principles that I believe will be a blessing to you in your life. We're not interested in teaching rules. Rules are for babies and little children. We're interested in teaching principles, God's unchanging laws that work in every age for every person under every possible circumstance. Those are principles. And those are what we are trying with God's help to build into future generations. I love this text that we have read in Psalm 126. Actually, if you were to visit my home, the home of my wife and myself, you would discover that there are two texts that hang in the foyer of our home. One is for people who come into our home. It is a large framed text of John 3 and 16. And it is something that we display in such a way that you cannot come into our home without being confronted with it. And it's something that we believe God uses as our neighbors and other friends come in to visit us. But there's a text that we have hanging. It's a very old text. It's an antique. It was painted by a lady over 100 years ago. And it's not a text for those who are coming in. It's a text for Mrs. Shutt and Mr. Shutt as they go out of our home. And you might by now gather that you know what it is, and you certainly would, because it is Psalm 126, reminding us that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And it is the encouragement that as we engage in the Lord's work and in the work of the gospel, that they that go forth and weep, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I want to talk to you just a little today about this important principle of sowing and reaping. Now, I feel that, especially on the two coasts, we are pretty far divorced in many cases from agricultural ideas. I happen to preach a lot in Iowa and Michigan in the Midwest. It's not quite the case there. But the fact of the matter is that a lot of people think that arugula comes from Whole Foods and hamburgers come from McDonald's. And really the true origins of things or the mechanics of agriculture have largely been lost. But this is something I think that's simple enough that everyone can understand. You sow, you plant, and then you reap. And within this simple agricultural illustration is a divine certainty. It is this principle that what you sow, you reap. And I would be very pleased if you were to leave this conference and God would just simply implant this irrevocable principle on your heart. For the believer or for the unbeliever, this is the law of life. What you sow, you reap. Now, I will just say this in passing, that many people view this as a negative sort of a statement. And of course, Galatians 6, where we have read, we discover that there are some who deceive themselves and they are mocking God and they feel that they can sow to the flesh and reap something other than what we were hearing about this morning
that they can reap something other than corruption. And certainly there is a negative side to this truth. My mother wielded it very effectively in our home. What you sow, you reap. But let me point out that this is a very positive principle as well. There is built within this the greatest opportunity and the greatest possibility for blessing in our lives and blessing in the lives of others. Because Galatians 6 and verse 8 reminds us that if one half is negative, the other half is indeed positive. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So this isn't going to be a message to beat you up. Actually, it's going to be a message to encourage you to sow spiritually so that there will be a rich harvest. I just have a few points. I'm going to be very brief today. I know that amazes you, but I'm going to do my best. And I just want to go over these very simply. I hope they're memorable, and I hope they will be a help to you. Number one, we reap what we sow. You say, you have a keen grasp of the obvious. I know, but at the same time, it's worth pointing out that you do not sow peas and reap pineapples. What we sow and what we reap are of the same kind. This is a very important thing because we must understand that there are certain laws in the universe that cannot be broken. It doesn't matter how clever you are or how ingenious you are. What you sow, you ultimately will reap. You know, this is a fact that we need to confront in our lives. We cannot sow disobedience to God and expect to reap his blessing. And I was really impressed with the ministry this morning. And Brother Matthew was reminding us that it is not only the danger of deliberate sin. I feel like in my life that I'm sensitive, at least in some degree, to not deliberately and egregiously violating the law of God. I want to tell you what Mr. Schutt struggles with. I struggle with the defilement that sneaks in the back door of my life and ultimately has the power to corrupt me and to destroy me. Listen, dear brother, dear sister, we cannot sow disobedience to God in any avenue or area of our life and expect to enjoy God's blessing. But you know, the other side of it, and I'm just thrilled really to talk about this, what a comforting and an assuring thought it is to those who faithfully labor under very difficult circumstances. And the sowing is hard, and the ground is like stone. And yet they persevere, and they discover that in God's good grace, faithfulness produces a rich harvest in the future. Because we have a God who, do you believe this? We have a God who always keeps his promises. And what we sow, we shall surely reap. That's why in the Gospel of John, we have these wonderful lines. He that reapeth, receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And so we reap what we sow. The second thing I want to think about is that we reap more than we sow. Why does a farmer plant corn? You know, it would be a fool's errand if he went out to his field and carefully cultivated the ground and with a great deal of ceremony and pomp and circumstance, put one kernel of corn into the ground and then watered it and cultivated it and cared for it. And at the end of the year, he got one kernel of corn back. I mean, you know, that's a good way to starve to death. But that's not how the principle of reaping and sowing work. You see, farmers plant their seed because they expect to harvest a great deal more than they sow. And a single seed has the capability of sprouting and growing and yielding dozens, scores, hundreds, in some kinds of plants, thousands of seeds. In the same way, with both sin and righteousness, small things sown can produce great harvests of both. You know, there are very few people, and I have made this observation probably from this platform before, there are likely very few people who experience sudden, catastrophic, spiritual disaster. I actually don't believe in that. I'll tell you what I do believe. I do believe that small, unconfessed sins over a period of time produce catastrophes in the life of a child of God. And I want to just say this too, that small investments in godliness can yield amazing results. I'm getting old. And so one of the things I like to do is I like to sing the choruses of my childhood. Someone gifted me recently with a little blue hymn book of the songs that we sang in Sunday school. And I tell you what, I know you don't ride with me in the car, but I like to sing to the dashboard. It's the only thing that doesn't criticize me. And, you know, you just sing these little songs like Shamgar had an ox goad. You know, David had a sling. What's the point of that? You do remember that song, right? Yeah. Three guys with gray hair or no hair remember it. But here's the deal. It's just a song that reminds children that little things that are committed to God are capable of producing enormous results. Listen to what the Lord Jesus taught in Matthew 13, the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil. This is the man who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and brings forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Thank God, in a positive way, we reap more than we sow. As a word of warning to my own soul, sowing to self, sowing to the culture, sowing to the easy path can lead to a yield, to a harvest of great disaster and sin. The third thing I want to think about is this. It is that we reap later than we sow. I grew up on a farm myself, and we planted corn and oats and alfalfa and milk Holstein cows. And I don't know a great deal about modern agriculture, but I know some of the basics, and one of them is this. You don't harvest the same day that you plant things. There needs to be a patient waiting. And many are deceived, really, because in this principle of sowing and reaping are usually not on the same day. You know, it's very interesting that many who choose to sow continue their course, mistakenly believing that there will never be a harvest. But you see, unlike the crops in the field, which are regularly harvested, you know, corn takes 100 and so many days to grow and to germinate. When it comes to our lives, there is no regular pattern when, under the finger of God, sowing and reaping are connected. I only know one thing, that what you sow, you reap. And whether you sow it and reap it in a week, or sow it and reap it in a lifetime, remember that you should not judge what the future harvest will be simply by the fact that the harvest is delayed. You know, there are people who are trying to hurry up the gospel these days. I'm an evangelist, you know that. And the subject of the gospel and sowing and reaping is something that's very precious to my heart. I probably should have said this earlier in my message, but this principle of sowing and reaping has broad applicability. It has to do with my personal life. What I sow in my personal life is going to reap a harvest someday. What I sow in my family life, I cannot allow the world to simply take over my home and expect that I am going to raise children that are going to grow up to honor and serve and love the Lord Jesus. This is a principle in assembly life. I'm very cautious in speaking to assembly elders, even though in many cities nowadays I'm older than they are. But at the same time, it is something that men who have the responsibility for assemblies need to take well into account, that what is sown in the assembly is going to be harvested someday, either for good or ill. And then, of course, finally, I was thinking about the gospel world and just this idea that we do not want to try and hasten the harvest that is in God's hand. You know, there was a man that burst onto the scene here in the United States over 100 years ago. His name was Charles Finney. And he likely did more damage to the evangelical world or to the world of the gospel than any other single individual that I can think of in North American history, because Charles Finney had a single proposition. It was this. If you build the right kind of machinery, and I'm using that metaphorically, if you employ a specific set of tactics, then when you preach, out the other end of the machine are going to come converts and people who are born again. Do you believe in that? Well, I don't believe in that for a single moment. That's rubbish. I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to the gospel and when it comes to everything else, we are utterly dependent upon God to work. You see, any amount of psychological manipulation, any amount of trying to modify the message and make it user-friendly. Brothers and sisters, let's not go down that route. Let's preach Christ and Him crucified. That's our job. My job is not to save people. Did you know that? That's not my job. I have the greatest job in the world because I'm not responsible for the results of my work. I'm responsible to be diligent. I'm responsible to work. I'm responsible to be a clean man, but I want to tell you something. I'm responsible to faithfully carry the message, but I'm not responsible for the salvation of souls. That is God's unique work, and he will do his work in his time, because they that sow with tears shall ultimately reap with joy. But let us not, and this is the point of Galatians 6, let us not grow weary. In due season we will reap if we do not give up. And so, dear brother, dear sister, let us not attempt by artificial means to haste the harvest, especially in the gospel, because it will bring about nothing but false profession. It will bring about nothing but ruin and lack of reality in spiritual life. Let me talk about a fifth one very briefly, and that is that germination in the plant world requires something. Do you know what it is? It requires moisture. If you've never been to Iowa, I'll just tell you that it's not uncommon in a prayer meeting to hear men standing up and praying for rain, either more of it in the spring or less of it in the fall. But you see, it's an integral part of their life and their livelihood. You need rain, you need moisture for things to grow. What did we read back in the Psalm? It is that they that sow with tears reap with joy. You know, this just shows me that this sowing and reaping thing is a matter of profound reality. You see, I think that many of us, and I don't like to sound like I'm scolding the Lord's people. If I ever sound like that, take me aside and help me out a little bit. So I don't want to be a scold, but you know, the fact of the matter is that most of us are just kind of letting life happen to us. We're just sort of reacting to life and trying to bump our way along as best we can, make a living, you know, get our kids sent to college, do the things that we do. But I feel today, and I sense this perhaps even in my own soul, that there is a lack of deliberate living. You know, accidental lives don't turn out to be for the glory of God. Men in the Bible who, and women in the Bible, let's never forget the system. Men and women in the Bible who achieve great things for God are people with a clear vision. They are people who move with deliberate action and words and deed. And so here are people, and they realize their dependency and they weep. And yet that weeping also expresses the profound seriousness of what they are doing. I read something years ago, and I don't know who wrote it. Maybe Brother Gene knows this. Somebody said that winners of souls are first weepers for souls. This is a sidebar, but I would be remiss if I did not ask you this. When is the last time that you wept for a soul? Now, I know that some of us are maybe more reserved, and some of us blubber at the slightest opportunity. That's okay. But is there anybody that you are deeply concerned about? Enough to shed tears over them? The promise is that they that sow tears are the ones who reap with joy. And so Paul wrote to the Ephesian elders, and he said, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears." Tears are not going to get you ahead at IBM or GM or in your corporate setting, but in the kingdom of God, it is men who are and women who are profoundly moved within their souls that are prepared to receive the harvest of blessing that God alone can bring. Very quickly, in the last 5 minutes, I want to point out that the sower and the reaper may not be the same person. That is a source of great joy to me. I preached with a man one time. You know, John 4 reminds us, "He that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I preached with a man one time, and he made the comment to me. He said, "I don't care who closes the deal. I just care that the company gets the profit." Does everybody understand what he meant by that? He didn't care whether people got saved in his meetings. He wasn't filing notches into his King James gun. He was just happy that people were being saved. And he wasn't concerned whose meetings they were. He was just happy when there were souls being added to the kingdom of God. You know, I hope that all of us will not live in such a self-serving way, that the only investment that we make in ourselves and in our families and in the assembly and in the gospel is something that will just simply immediately reflect back on myself, just creating a YouTube moment so that people will look at me. Sowing in the kingdom of God is often followed by reaping that we ourselves may never. There was a man who went to China many years ago. I was telling the believers this elsewhere recently. I believe he lived there for 30 years and preached the gospel. I don't want to make you all gasp at the same time. To his knowledge, there was not a single person in 30 years that professed faith in Christ. After 30 minutes, I probably would have gone home. 30 years. And he died. A young man went out to take up his work. And I don't have the numbers or the facts in front of me, so I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit here. You'll just get the idea, and don't hold me to an accurate count. But I think within the first year, there were something like 300 people who came to know the Lord. You see, one man sowed. Another man had the privilege of reaping. Let's not be in this business just for ourselves. Let us sow, knowing that the law of God, this principle, will be carried out, whether you see it or not. One soweth, another reapeth. The last thing I want to just mention very quickly is that fruitful harvests bring great joy. We read this, didn't we? He brings his sheaves with joy. Wouldn't it be nice at the end of a life to look back on a harvest of righteousness that has been the result of faithful sowing for God? I had something happen last week that touched me very, very deeply. And this is the first place I'm telling it, and if I blubber too much, it might be the last. I was visiting in an assembly, and a young lady there, she's not young anymore, she's married and has a family. She very quietly slipped an envelope into my hand and then just went away without saying much of anything, just gave me a little squeeze on the arm, and then she was gone. And when I opened it, it just nearly drove me to the floor. It was a note thanking me for coming with the gospel many years ago. She was one of the first people, maybe the first person that I ever saw saved in a series of tent meetings. And she just came back and wrote the sweetest little note of thanks. Thanks for bringing the gospel. Thanks for bringing Christ. And you know, I look back over a lot of years. There's men here, and they've been preaching the gospel for many, many years. You know, that little note meant more to me than all the world. You know, the gospel work and the work of living for Christ, the work of labor in the assembly and in your family, often seems like a very thankless thing until God gives you a little crack in the window, a little ray of light to see that sowing was not in vain. There is a harvest being reaped that will be revealed in a coming day. You know the lines of the famous hymn, don't you? If one soul from my town meets me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. May the Lord help you just to remember a very, very simple message on this Saturday afternoon. Sowing and reaping, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.